Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the beginning of another new year. It's that time of the year when we stop and look around, we look back, and we look forward. Those are some good things that we need to do. The TV networks would have us look backward at all the most important news events of the year. This year we heard things like it was the worst year for the stock market since 2008. Another story that I heard told about was the jobless rate. The jobless claims for this last 6 months have been the worst and have been increasing. And violent crime was up 20% in Los Angeles. And we're all well aware that the race for the White House has already begun. The good news is we have survived it already. But this is not only a time to look back, but it's also a time for us to look forward. We look forward anticipating the events of 2016. Some of us will make resolutions. According to Google search, the most popular search since the beginning of the year, might surprise you. The search, most important search, has been how do you make kale chips? People are resolving to do healthy things for themselves. Health-related resolutions are very popular this time of the year. We make resolutions to lose weight. We make resolutions to quit smoking. We make resolutions to have a more healthier life in the way that we eat. Some people make resolutions regarding money and how they should get out of debt, how they should save more money, and how they should perhaps spend less. A couple other things that people resolve to do are spend more time with their families. Some people resolve to try to travel more. And the third most important search item on Google was, how do I reduce stress in my life? It's the time of the year when we see interesting statistics and numbers. Here are some of those numbers. 45. 45 is the percentage of people who usually make resolutions. 38 is the percentage of people who never make resolutions. 8 is the percentage of people who are successful at achieving their resolution. And lastly, 13. 13 is the percentage of people over age 50 who actually achieve their resolution. I guess maybe we have a little bit better chance than the rest of the population. So I ask you this question. What is it that you are looking for? Are you looking forward to for this coming year? Are you thinking perhaps you'll take a vacation somewhere? Perhaps you'll buy a new car? Maybe you'll get a new home or remodel the home that you're in. Some of us may be looking forward to brand new grandchildren. And a few of us, although I don't see many out here, who will plan to retire. How about your spiritual life? What will you do this year to improve that? What resolutions might you make? Will you resolve to attend adult Bible school more regularly? Will you resolve to attend church more frequently? What other kinds of things might you do to strengthen your spiritual life? And what is it that we here at Emmanuel might be looking forward to this coming year? Well, certainly we have our anniversary celebration coming up in April. We're looking forward to that. There's been discussion of reforming the call committee and looking at new options that we might have, and that might mean that there would be a new pastor at some point in our future. Or are you perhaps just saying, we just kind of need to hang in there? I don't know. But what about God in 2016? Have you included Him in your resolutions and your personal planning? How will you try to improve your relation with Him? How will you try to improve that relationship that you have with Him each and every day? When you pray, are you praying that His will be done rather than that your will be done? Perhaps rather than making those resolutions, you have God tucked into this nice little box that you have that makes you feel very comfortable about Him. Are we limiting Him to some preconceived notion that we might have of what He should do and what He shouldn't do and what we want Him to do? Or perhaps you have Him neatly corralled inside of this building so that He will be here with us and we can count on that. As I said in the introduction, God does some surprising things. And we don't know what surprising things He will have for us. If we look at the lessons for today, we see some of those surprising things that God did. In the Old Testament, Solomon had gone to a temple of Baal to offer sacrifices. How could God, the creator of the universe, the one who is omniscient and omnipotent, how could He show up at a temple of Baal, an idol, just because Solomon went there? And to top it all off, He answers the prayers that Solomon offers. God essentially said to Solomon that day, "Tell me what you want." And it almost has that implication that whatever you ask for, I'm going to give you. Solomon wisely asked that he be given wisdom and a discerning heart to serve His people. And God is pleased with that, even though it's a temple of Baal. And He gives Solomon not only the things that he asks for, but He also gives him riches and honor. And He says, "And if you will walk in My ways, I will give you a long and extended life." What was God thinking about? What was He doing there in a temple of Baal, of all places? That's a pretty surprising thing that God did. In the gospel lesson for today, Jesus did a kind of a surprising thing. He stayed behind in the temple and listened and talked to the priests. And His parents didn't know that. And so they spend 3 days looking for Him. And when they find Him, His excuse is, "Well, don't you know that I must be in My Father's house?" In His ministry, Jesus did a lot of other things that would have surprised the people of the time. Jesus went out and associated with prostitutes. He associated with hated tax collectors. In fact, He even made one of them His disciples. And He associated with uneducated and lowly fishermen who had no education, no religious training at all. And He even chose a think last and speak first fisherman to be the quarterback of His team. Then there was the day that He made that whip and drove all of the money changers out of the temple. And compare that to not associating at all with the religious and socially elite people of the time. They became so irritated with Him that they eventually had Him crucified on a cross. Jesus did some pretty surprising things. Perhaps we don't know this God, we don't know this Jesus quite as well as we might think that we do. We'd like again to limit Him and His abilities. We want Him to be comfortable for us. We want Him to love the right sort of people. We want Him to approve of us as we being the right sort of people. We don't want Him to act in any kind of ways that are threatening. He should always love children. And he should always heal people completely when they are ill. But God has none of that in his mind. He won't fit into the boxes that we have created for him. Our God is wonderfully and sometimes frightfully unpredictable. He does crazy things sometimes, things that surprise and shock us. He showed up for Solomon at that pagan website. He adopted us sinners, not because of anything we did or we can do. He adopted us simply because he loves us and he created us. And so let me ask you these questions. What can we expect from a God who shows up at a temple of Baal? What can we expect from a God who associates with prostitutes? What do we expect from a God who loves unconditionally? So as we look at the coming year, what do we expect God to do for us? Well, some things he will certainly do is we would expect that he will show up at our worship services, and he will. And we can expect him to be present today at the altar as we receive his body and blood. And he will be there for us. But what might he do that we least expect? Will he bring us new members? Will he bring us maybe 60 or 70 young people to worship this coming Sunday? What if all those people came from the NA group on Friday night? Or what if a woman in a burqa shows up asking for help? Or what would we do if a gay couple came and tried to worship with us? Yes, God loves us and he loves all of those people as well. God's love is not selective. It's not limited to just Lutherans or just Christians. He loves more people than we choose for him to love. I think it was Steve Martin who said, "I'm just a wild and crazy guy." How do you suppose God would describe himself? What wild and crazy works might God do in this congregation in this coming year? Well, I'm not even going to try to hazard a guess. God has no limits to the possibilities of things that he can do. What I do know is what we read in the epistle lesson for today. There, Paul says that God will bless us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Will he bless us with more members? Will he bless us with a new full-time pastor? He has the capability to bless us much, much greater than we are even able to imagine in our wildest dreams. And also, when I read that epistle lesson from Paul today, I know that God has chosen us and given us the faith to believe. He has adopted us to be his children. And that adoption is forever. And in that adoption, he is looking over us. In that adoption for us, he cares about us, and he loves us, and he will be with us. In that adoption, he forgives us all our sins through Jesus' blood. And in that adoption, he will take us to heaven on the last day. It's true that God did not design the human brain to be able to figure out the future and know what it is. That's just beyond our capability. But God did craft our minds to communicate with him, to develop a personal relationship with him, to depend on him for all our needs in this present time. We just need to take all those prayers, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, to him in that prayer. We simply need to trust him and commit our future to him. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.